I'm going to turn now to Colossians chapter 4. Pastor Dan's going to be finishing our sermon series in Colossians. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Make the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person.
Morning. It's good to be with you this morning. It's always a blessing to be with you. Steve, Leanne, thank you so much for your ministry. What a blessing. What an absolute blessing. Thank you for sharing. So we're going to pray because that's what we do. We're a praying church. And we're going to pray for Susan and we're going to pray for Leanne. Ro was such a blessing. She was awesome. She was such a spitfire, man. I would visit her over the past 6 months or so. I'd spend Thursdays with her when we would, Pastor Jack and I would do communion up at the rehab center. And she would fight with you in the room with you about, like, the remote control. She was like, they gave me this new remote. They marked the volume as the channels, and the channels as the volume, and I'm going to yell at somebody. And, and she was just, she loves Jesus. So we just take comfort in where she is right now. We take comfort in the blessing, the promise of God, and the blessing of eternal life and in where she is right now, and she's not in any pain. And she's fighting with people in heaven right now, and that's who she is. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will dig into God's word. Father, we come to you right now. We come to you because you're God, and we are not. You are the creator, the sustainer, the giver of life, the breather of life into our lungs, and you give us days on this earth. You give us moments on this earth. But you also promise us at the same time that when our days and our breaths are done here, that those who put their faith in your Son and the work on the cross and repent of their sins are carried home to heaven by your Son. So we take great, great, great comfort in that. And we thank you for that, Lord. We ask you to be with Luann. We ask you to be with Susan. We ask you to be with the entire family. Give them strength. Give them just the sense of love that from their family, from their church family here, from so many people, Lord, but there's just the warmth and the security of the Holy Spirit. Let them feel that above all things, Lord. We thank you for little Hattie. We ask you to strengthen her little body and be with Mom and Dad. We ask you to be with Pastor Scott and the youth as they return back from Laurelville, Lord. And we just pray over that time, that their time was just a beautiful time of fellowship and growing closer together as a youth group, but knowing you, knowing your Son, and knowing that all that your Son has done for us. So, Father, we lift up our time. This moment is for you. We glorify your name. It's for you. We offer all these things. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this morning, I have the privilege of landing the plane in Colossians. Closing out Pastor Jack's sermon series, Orders Remain Unchanged. We started the series September 21st, 2025, and here we are about six, eight weeks later. We're landing the plane. And next week, as you can see, Advent season begins next week, so we can start preparing our hearts for the arrival of our Lord and Savior, which is a blessed time to reflect on who Jesus is. So we'll be starting that next week. So I'm going to close out Colossians 4. And this book is, this sermon series has been a blessing, first and foremost. This book is amazing. Four chapters, that's all it is. Four of the most, it's got the gospel in it in the very beginning. It's practicality of how we're supposed to live with each other. Pastor Jack went through marriage, work, and family last week. So the practicality of this book is amazing. Paul, I think Paul is probably the smartest person to ever walk the face of the earth. He is absolutely amazing. I love Paul. I love the Apostle Paul. In this book, this letter is one of Paul's prison letters. So at this particular time between 60 AD to 62, 65-ish, depending on who you talk to, Paul wrote three particular letters while he was in prison. The book of Colossians is one of them, Philemon, and Ephesians. So he wrote all three of those letters, those books, while he was chained to a Roman guard. It's pretty interesting. Now, when the Bible talks about prison, talks about jail, we have a couple different things come to our mind. So one thing would be like the pit that you could just be thrown into. That's definitely a type of jail that's referred to in the Bible. If you think about like a cell where it's just a room and then the cell comes or the cage comes closing in on you, that we see in like Andy Griffith, you know, where that kind of jail, that was definitely a type of jail also. But the type of jail or prison that Paul is sitting in right now is pretty interesting. It's kind of unique in that the where they placed him and where they would place people from time to time was almost like an apartment. And it would have been an apartment in like a rundown area. It wouldn't have been like a nice, luxurious apartment by any means. But it was an open area, an open floor plan, if you will. And people were able to come and go and visit Paul. Visit people, and we'll see that. Like by the end of this chapter, it's like the who's who of the New Testament that was hanging out with Paul while he was writing these letters. So it's really neat. The whole environment of what was going on with Paul is really neat. And he wrote this this letter to a specific church, the Church of Colossae, and the church. He never even went to the church. He's never been to this church, and this is the love of a pastor. Pastor Paul loves his people, and we'll get to that too by the end, loves this church. He loves the gentleman that he refers to a couple times. I'm going to call him Epaphras. You might call him Epaphras if you're from Western PA. You might call him Epaphras, but I'm going to call him Epaphras. So Epaphras started this church roughly 57, 58, 59. And Paul's writing this letter a couple years later because there was an issue. There were issues in these churches, and Paul's like, hey, I got time. Let's write them a letter. So that's what he's doing. He's writing them a letter about the issues that are going on. And this letter, and again, we'll get to it at the end, this is like a pastor of pastors in a group of pastors coming together at one time while Paul is writing this letter. It's pretty cool. It's really cool. He loves this church. And he bookends this this letter with prayer and with thanksgiving. And when you look at the beginning of the letter, when you go to Colossians 1, verse 3, we always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus, when we pray for you. He's always covering them with prayer. Verse 1:9, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. So the day that they heard of the issues that's going on with the church. So covering this church with prayer, covering this church with thanksgiving was priority number one for Paul. He loved them. And like I said, he never set foot in this church. These weren't like people that he pastored or ministered to at any time. So to set the table for who Paul is, where he's at, what's going on right now, let's look at the Word of God, and let's look at it where we're at today, we're walking into Thanksgiving. It's coming Thursday. I don't know if you noticed that, but this Thursday is Thanksgiving, and it's on, man. Like, it is, some of us go to two or three different houses, we eat two or three different meals, we take two or three different naps in two or three different homes. It's on. So think about in context to what Pastor Jack preached for the past 8 weeks through this book. Think about a loving pastor. Think about the people who we're going to be in front of this week and how we can impact them for the gospel in the same manner that Paul did, the same manner that a man who is chained to a Roman soldier impacted the world. That's what we're supposed to glean from this. This is what we're supposed to be taking away from this. So when we look at God's word, and we're in Colossians chapter 4, we're starting in verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So Paul's saying steadfastly, be devoted to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So every day, rejoice in God. Rejoice in his word. Rejoice, give thanks. Give thanksgiving to every breath that we get is a blessing from God. Every day that we're here on planet Earth is a blessing from God. And we should rejoice in that. We should give thanks to that. But we all should should react to that in a special way. He says in here, be watchful. Being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Why should we be watchful in how we pray and what we think about? Well, we need to be watchful in what we pray for and how we pray because we're prideful, needy people. When it all comes down to that, we are prideful and we're needy. So we need to watch. We need to. God hears our prayers, okay? He absolutely does. And he answers every prayer that we have according to his will. Every prayer we have. And what I mean by that is Father God, Abba God, he knows best for what will glorify him, what will bring glory to him, what will bring glory to his son. And even though we are image bearers, we're image bearers of God, we are his most precious creation, he loves us, but it's his glory that matters above all. So every prayer is answered. Every single prayer is answered according to the will of God, which is why we need to be watchful, because we're needy and we're prideful. We like to use prayer as an ATM machine, Mac machine for some of you that grew up in the 80s, where we walk up to it and we put in our code and we request something and it gets spit out. That's what we do with prayer a lot of times. We say to God, God, please give me this. God, please give me that. God, please do this. And we should ask him for things. Absolutely. Absolutely. But we shouldn't use him like an ATM machine because he's God. He deserves glory before he deserves any type of question or anything that we should ask for. So how should we pray? How should we go about praying? Well, we love acronyms, right? We love our acronyms. So pray, P-R-A-Y. So praise, repent, ask, yield. So that's one aspect of it. And some of you have heard of the ACTS method of praying. So ACTS, A-C-T-S, A, adoration. Pete, your prayer this morning started out with such admiration to God. It was amazing. We're not going to be able to do this all the time, okay? Because there's moments when you're on 19, you're at a red light, and the ambulance goes flying by. And you just pray at that moment. You say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm praying for the person that's in that ambulance. I'm praying for protection over the driver. I'm praying for everybody. So those prayers are great. Nothing wrong with those prayers. But when we truly come to the throne room of God and we truly bow our heads, and like Pete did this morning, we start with adoration to God because that's what he deserves. He's God. And we thank him, Father, you created everything. creator of everything, the sustainer of everything. Everything that you declared comes to pass. You are God. I look outside, I see your beauty, I see your glory. Every breath I take is a blessing. Every move I make is a blessing. Keep on going. He's God. He deserves the adoration. See confession. That's where we come in. We're like, God, I'm not you. I am a human. I am lowly human being. You are God. I'm just a human. Forgive me for when I think otherwise. Forgive me when I try to outrun you. Forgive me when I put myself above you, because you are God. Forgive me of my sins, the things that I think, the things that I say, the things that I do, Lord. Forgive me of those things. You come to him with adoration. You come with him with confession. And then you come to him with thanksgiving. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the air I breathe. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the people around me. Thank you for my church. Thank you for everything that you do, because it's all for you. Thank you. And then, finally, you come to supplication. Father, help me be a better follower of your Son. Whatever your will is, Father, help me follow. Help me be a better Christian. Help me walk the walk and talk the talk. So you come to him with adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Lord, thank you for this job that I have. I know that I'm surrounded by people that are basically heathens. Help me be a light here. We don't come to him and say, Father, little Joey, we love watching him play hockey. The odds of him being a professional hockey player are 1 in 16,000 billion. Lord, I still believe that you can make him beat. We don't come to him with that. We come to him with, Father God, little Joey loves playing hockey. Protect him while he's playing hockey. Let him be a light to these other kids that maybe not know you. That's how we come to the Lord in prayer. So we need to be watchful, and we need to be with thanksgiving for all that he's done. We need to do that fervently, and we need to do that in a devoted manner to God. Verse 3, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. So as you're making these prayers of adoration, as confession, of thanksgiving, of supplication, pray for us, Paul's saying. Paul's saying, pray for your leaders. Pray for those that are in charge of the church. Pray for your missionaries. Pray that the word of God, pray that God opens doors for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is the gospel. That's Paul saying, listen, pray for us. Pray that God opens a door that I have the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. Pray that I am in prison right now because I've been sharing the gospel. I'll come back. I'll do it over again. The gospel is the most important thing. But pray that God opens that door. And we pray that all the time. We pray, God, please put somebody in my path that I can share the word with. Please, open a door. And he does. He opens doors. Piper says that prayer opens the door for the gospel. And again, this is Paul chained to a heathen Roman guard. And he's saying, open doors, Lord. Open the doors for us so we can share the gospel. He goes on, that make the gospel clear, which is how I ought to speak. He says, I ought to speak that way. A man that's tied to a Roman guard still cares enough to say, I have work left to do. I can still share the gospel. Open the door, Lord. Provide a way and let me do it in a clear fashion. And there's a result to this prayer. There's results to this prayer. And in Philippians chapter 1, 12 and 13, Paul writes this, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me really served to advance the gospel. The guy that was beat, the guy that was stoned, the guy that was shipwrecked, the guy that was like every time he went into a town, they ran him out. He says, I want you to know what has happened to me, the guy in jail, what has happened to me really served to advance the gospel. So it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. He's saying, this is a good thing. I'm in jail, and this is a good thing. I want you to know that, is what he says. And most of the brothers have become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment. Most of the brothers have been confident, become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment. So this is a good thing. I'm in jail. It's a good thing. And because I'm in jail, more people are spreading the good news. More people are confident to do this. They're much more bold to speak the word of God, to speak the word without fear. He's in prison when he says this. His prayer was answered. When he says, pray that I'm able to declare the mystery of Christ on account which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear. So God answered his prayer. God answers prayers. And that's the same prayer that at some point in all of our lives in this room, somebody prayed over us. Somebody prayed a prayer over you that God would open a door, you would hear the gospel, and you would respond. Somebody did that. Some of us, it took an awful long time, okay? So it was like a sprinkling over time that prayer was being said. Some of us, somebody was on their knees with a heartfelt, tear-drenched, pleading to God to change your heart. Somebody prayed that prayer over you. Paul's asking for the same thing. Open the door, Lord. Pray for us so that God opens a door. And those people that were on their knees, they were saying, God, please, even if you have to take me, but do whatever you have to do to save them. Somebody loved you that much that they prayed that. I guarantee you there's people in this room that prayer has been prayed. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of your time. So Paul goes, he's practicality. He's like, listen, there's a lot of people that are watching you. We need to walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Outsiders are just people outside of the faith. That's a lot of people. Chuck Johnson will tell you how many people it is. There's a couple billion people in the world that don't know Jesus. We have a lot of work to do. So that's an outsider. So we walk in wisdom toward the outsider. We walk toward the outsider. We don't run away from the outsider. We walk toward them. And we're making the best use of our time. Okay, this is the guy that had nothing but time on his hands. Okay, this man was tied to a Roman soldier. Every 4 hours, a new soldier would come by. New guy, okay? He had nothing but time on his hands. And he's saying, he tells you, making the best use of your time. So what was Paul's use of his time? He was sharing the gospel with that soldier. Scripture tells us that some of those soldiers heard and believed. These guys are heathens, man. Heathen soldiers. Think about the what Jesus went to prior to the cross, the walking to the cross, how he was beat. Like, these guys are ruthless. They're not like It's not like the traffic cop pulling you over. These guys are ruthless. Attached to Paul, they would have thought Paul was just some crazy religious zealot. Because he's not dangerous. He's obviously not dangerous. So they were just like, I'm just going to sit and listen to this crazy man talk about this Savior that he keeps talking about for 4 hours. So for 4 hours, Paul never gives up. Keeps telling you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Keeps saying it over and over and over again. He says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So salt, they didn't have refrigerators back then, so they used salt to keep everything fresh so it wouldn't spoil. So keep your speech fresh. Don't let it be spoiled. Focus on Christ. Be Christ-centered. Present the gospel. Again, tied to a Roman soldier, okay? Have you ever seen the show Cops? You know the show Cops? There's one phrase that happens constantly in Cops, and this is the phrase, I ain't done nothing. So it'll be like the guy will be sitting on the curb outside of the convenience store, and it'll be like Kit Kats and Gatorades will be falling out of his pockets, and he'll be like, I ain't done nothing the whole time. I ain't even done nothing. These Roman guards would have heard Anatolium over and over again. Anatolium, by the average prisoner would have said, Anatolium, Anatolium. That's Aramaic for, I ain't even done nothing. Over and over again, they would have heard that, except from Paul. Paul was like, I'm here because of Jesus. I got arrested because I proclaimed Christ, and I'm here because of Jesus. He would have never said, I ain't even done nothing. They would have never heard Anatolium. They would have heard the gospel over and over again. And it, you know, be gracious, season with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Last week, Pastor Jack did a phenomenal job with sharing how we are to walk as a husband and wife, as a family, in your family and at work. And he said that, have the look of God's face in the tone of God's voice. And that's what Paul was doing. Paul didn't say, I ain't even done nothing. Paul had the look of God's face in the tone of God's voice throughout the time that he was in prison. And he wrote some of the greatest letters to be written. I'm telling you, man, Paul is the smartest man ever, ever. He understood the word of God like nobody. Didn't matter who you are, where you are, he could share the gospel in a manner that you would understand it. He was unbelievable. He was truly an apostle of the Lord. He leaves them with this, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of your time, which is what we should be doing all the time. We should be going toward the outsider, not setting up the walls to be away from them. Making the best use of our time. Man, I'm preaching to myself right now. There's times when I'm like, man, I can't get that half hour back, you know? Let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt. Have the look of God's face and the tone of God's voice. That's how we're supposed to answer each person. That's what he left them. That was his final marching orders. That's how he left this letter. And then he does something that is amazing. And it's his final greeting, if you will, but it's not a greeting. He's wrapping it all up. He's wrapping this letter up. And what Paul does is he singles out a group of people that they're in the Bible. They'll be known forever. You know, these people are known forever. And this is where I'm talking about in the beginning, how they're the most famous of the New Testament folks are with Paul in jail. They come to visit him. It's amazing what he has. So he starts with Tychicus, in verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. That's a bizarre statement to me. What were his activities? He was attached to a Roman soldier the whole time for 3 years straight. Like, how much stuff could he do? He preached the word of God constantly. So he's going to tell you everything I did. And Paul's not bragging. He's not bragging. He's just stating fact. Like, he's trying to encourage the church. He's trying to encourage them. He says, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. And Onesimus, the faithful, they're going to deliver this letter, okay? Now, Onesimus is a slave. He's a runaway slave. And he's taken a letter, Philemon, back to Philemon. So this guy, Paul's like, I wrote these letters. You're telling me about this church. I wrote letters. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to get you out of the trouble that you're in. Philemon's a believer. He needs to let you go. You're a believer. You guys are one in Christ. That goes back to the masters, verse 1. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So Paul keeps tying everything back together. He says, Aristarchus, he calls him Aristarchus. He's like, he's a fellow prisoner. He greets you. Yeah, there's another guy that's chained up to this other guard over here. He loves Jesus. He says hi. That's what he's saying. He's like, there's a bunch of us in here. There's other dudes in this room too, but I don't know how they feel about Jesus. But Aristarchus, he loves Jesus. He says hi. And then he says, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, Mark, the writer of the Gospel of Mark, visited Paul in prison. He says hi too. Mark says hi too. Hi from prison. And then we got this guy in verse 11. His name's Jesus, but we call him Justice because that just gets too confusing. You know, so we nicknamed him Justice. So that's who it is. And then in verse 12, you know, Epaphras, he's the guy that started your church, man. He greets you. He loves you. He's the one that came to me and said, we got problems here. You got to help us. Paul says, all right, let me write you a letter. So Epaphras, and then Paul later on in verse 13, he says, he has worked hard for you. Paul's like, I want you to know what Epaphras has been doing for you guys. He works hard for you. Your pastor loves you. And know that. Your pastor loves you guys. He loves you. He works hard for you. Verse 14 brings up Luke, the beloved physician. He says hi. Luke. Who's Luke? Luke's only the writer of the Gospel of Luke. Two of the four writers of the Gospels are sitting here with Paul. Like, this is no small thing. Like, this is a big thing. Luke says hi, as does Demas. Demas says hi. And then he says in 15, and greetings, give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and the Nympha in the church in her house. They didn't have a building. We come to this building every Sunday and we take it for granted. And I love being here. I love this place and I take it for granted all the time too. They met at somebody's house. That's what they had. And it wasn't easy. It's kind of fearful from time to time. But they met at somebody's house. And then later on in 17, he says, Archippus, tell Archippus, and I'm assuming Archippus is probably the new pastor since Epaphras isn't there, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. That is encouragement from Paul. He's saying, we see something in you. The Lord's blessed you, man. Go. Keep fighting. Keep leading these people. He said, what he's saying right here is, I can't do ministry without these people. This church does not work without these people. I love large gatherings. I love large gatherings because I love parties. I love the loudness. I love the hustle and bustle. I love laughing. I love being around everybody. I love them, and we should get together as often as we possibly can. And the reason we get together is because of Jesus. There's really no other reason that we should ever get together other than Christ. Like, that's why we're in this room, is because of Jesus. And it gives us, when we're together, it gives us a small glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. Tiny, small glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. So, this is Paul saying thank you. This is Paul singling people out and saying thank you. Last Sunday, we had our luncheon, our Thanksgiving luncheon. And if you weren't there this year, make sure you're there next year. And it has changed over the years. It has changed drastically over the years. There was a time when it was in this room. And when service let out, everybody would start picking up chairs and stacking them in the hallways to bring in tables, to bring the chairs back in. And we're like this, and sometimes people served us. Sometimes it was a nightmare. It was chaos. But it was beautiful. It was beautiful chaos. So then we get the fellowship hall. God blesses us with the fellowship hall, and we're all downstairs until this year because there's too many of us. God's blessed our church with numbers, brought people here because of the word of God. That's why. And we can't all fit in one time, so we have two meals. We had an 8 o'clock and a noon. But that doesn't happen without people. So, when you see these people, you thank them, because if I could write a letter and I was somewhere else, I would do it personally. So thank you, Cindy Cowie, for all that you do. Thank you, Barb Cabucci. Thank you, Judy Borg, for the hours throughout the week of preparing food so we could eat. Thank you, Marge, for being here, being there, being here, being there. I don't know how you do it. I think there's more than one of her. So thank you. Thank you, Nancy King. Thank you, Nancy Matovich, for spiking our blood sugar with the most delicious sweets. Thank you. Thank you, Sandy Dietrich. She's not in here. She pulled double duty. She worked Saturday morning downstairs and then Sunday morning with the kids. Thank you, Kathy Nicholson, Kathy Schmerna, Linda McDade, Patty Delavade, Kelly Ford, Sherry Kolashinsky, Glenn Dietrich, and Steve Antoinette, who worked on one arm. We cannot do ministry without you. Know that. We love you guys, and we thank you. It doesn't work. It does not work. So Paul ends this letter with this. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. What he's saying about his chains, it wasn't a scar to him. It wasn't something that hurt him. It wasn't something that wasn't a bad thing. He said, remember my chains. These chains are how the gospel got spread. If I wasn't in this prison right now, I'd probably be in one church. But God put me in this prison so I could write letters to multiple churches. Thank God that he was in chains. We should thank God for everything. There's no bad thing. What somebody meant for evil by putting him in jail, God turned it around and grew the church. And that's why we're here right now. So from the very beginning until now, the orders remained unchanged. And really since the flood, the God has been calling a group of people for himself. And that's the order, call people. In Micah 6:8, we are to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. That's what we're called to do. This book, Colossians, is a perfect, it's a perfect book, perfect letter, perfect response to this particular church, but it's also perfect for us today, like all of God's word. It's this four most practical chapters telling us to focus on Christ and pray. Focus on Christ and be thankful. Focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. And we are always to be in thanksgiving to who God is, what he's done, and what he's doing right now. So let's pray to God and thank him. Father, we come to you, Lord, and we thank you. Thank you for Paul. Thank you for the circumstance you put him in, Lord, and it was not easy for him. We know that, and we don't take it light. But we thank you for his love for not just one church, but all the churches. We thank you mainly for his love for Christ. Lord, let us live, help us, guide us in a manner that we can live in a way that your face is shown from us and your words are being expressed from our lips, Lord. We want to just proclaim you to the world, Lord. So open doors for us so that we can run towards the outsider, Lord, and to share the love, the saving grace of Christ, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's the words of the benediction taken from 2 Corinthians 13 and 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.